thought this week I would share with you some things that I discovered as Jessica and I were going through some old boxes, some old belongings that had made it in the move from Dayton to Tallahassee. Two pieces of paper, actually, that are pretty significant to my life, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. The first is something that I'm sure most of you have. This is a copy of something that's important to me. At the very top, it has my name, McGray de Vega, some personal information about me, a little career objective, and ordination, when I was ordained, and then a list of some of the jobs and work experiences that I have had over the past several years, including Director of Contemporary Worship, Pasadena Community Church, May 94 to August 95, has a listing of my educational experience and some other things. Most of you have something like this. It's called a resume. It outlines the important dates and achievements and experiences that have made you who you are as a professional in the world today. And this is something that gets revised every so now and then as you add more and more experiences and achievements in your life. It's an important thing to have as you try to move on in your professional life so that folks can take one look at who you are and what you have become and the experiences that you've had. Well, as we were fumbling through some other things, I discovered another special piece of paper. This one is a little more personal to me. It was a handwritten note that I wrote to someone very special and gave it to her on a special day. This is my little note here that I wrote. This is kind of an envelope that I put together, and inside you'll find, oh gosh, it's been a long time. This is a Valentine's Day card that I put together. Our favorite cartoon back then was the Animaniacs, you know, Wacko, Yakko, and Dot, and they had some Valentine's cards that I kind of put together, pasted together, and then on the inside I won't share with you what I put in there, but wow. Anyway, a whole long list of things that I had wrote there to that very special person. I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's so meaningful about this card, because it was a card that I wrote in college in a time when I didn't think I would ever write a card like this to anybody in my life. Because when I first entered Eckerd College, I was not looking for someone special. I had come to a point in my life where I had pretty much given God my singleness and was ready to eat TV dinners for the rest of my life. Little did I know that I still do. And but anyway, that's for another time. So, yeah, for sure I will now. That's right. I had been around the block and listened to some of my male friends talk about how it is they go about finding that very special someone, going through the different parts of campus where it was possible to meet that special person, you know, at parties, you know, in class, in cafeteria, around the dorms. I'd heard all of the pickup lines that guys had been giving to them and how they had been turning on the charm and trying to attract that special someone. I had a special plan of my own. When I would meet someone who was strikingly beautiful and perhaps someone I want to spend my time with, I would turn and run the other way. That was kind of what I was a pretty shy, bashful, very relationally inept person who wasn't really looking for someone. But there was a point in my life when I said, you know, I want to try to find somebody. And I decided that the best pickup place for me, given my introversion, would be at freshman registration. So here I was, a junior at Eckerd College, with a number of volunteer opportunities during freshman orientation day, where I would meet a lot of freshman people who were coming to campus for the first time, and I thought, well, what station during freshman orientation do you think I'd want to work? I could have worked the tuition table, and that was probably a bad idea, because that's when freshmen and their parents were very glum. I could have gone to the financial aid table. I thought, well, that would be just as bad. I decided to work the very last station of freshman registration. It was the station where the freshmen would get in their hands the class that they would be taking during their first semester there. A nice, exciting time. They were relieved from all of the headache and heartache of giving away all their money, and so they would come to me, and I would give them the class that they would be taking. And on that class sheet was written their name and the town that they were from. Well, here I was sitting during freshman orientation, and all of a sudden, I felt this radiant glow started filling the room. And I looked over, and this heavenly creature was walking there, trying to get those dinners back, Jessica. And anyway, we struck up a conversation, introduced myself, and she introduced herself, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, she asked me out. Anyway, that was a note that this note resembles for me a time in my life when my heart was stirred and my emotions were plucked, and they were primed for a very special moment in my life. And little did I know that at that time I was meeting my future spouse. I have a resume up here, and I have a Valentine's Day card. Two very important pieces of paper that really, in different ways, talk about my history, talk about significant experiences in my life. One is very structured. One is very linear. One is very mind and brain oriented. The other one comes from the heart. If I were to ask you this morning to share with me about your history, to share with me a biographical sketch of your life, you could share with me an answer in one of two ways. You could give me a resume answer. You could give me the day that you were born, where you were born, a little bit about your family, about your work experience, where you have lived, what you have done and seen, what your career objectives are, what your achievements have been, all of your glories, all of your crowns, all of your mistakes, all of your experiences. You could give it to me in chronological fashion, and you could share with me a little bit about your life in resume form. But you could also share with me something else. Something that might be a little more like a diary. Sharing with me about your passions. About the things that have really touched you in your life. The experiences that are vivid even to this day, even though they occurred decades ago. You could share with me the first time that you learned to ride a bike and went down the street without training wheels. You could share with me a glorious event in the when you were a star football player in high school and scored the winning touchdown. You could share with me the emotion and the joy of meeting that special someone that would eventually become your spouse. You could share with me the passion, the inexplicable joy that came when you held your newborn baby for the very first time. There are two very, very different ways of sharing with me about your history. This morning, I want to invite you to think about our scripture passage as a telling of a history. A telling of a history not of a single person, but of a community of people, of a church. A church in the community of Ephesus, and it takes place in the final days in the book of Revelation, where God is addressing a certain people. And the first part of this passage is incredible. It reads like a resume. It reads of past glories and achievements of this church. And just take a listen once again to all that God has to tell the Ephesian church in resume form. God says, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. What a wonderful thing for a church to hear from God. This is a church that was doing many things right. They were pursuing the truth. They were weeding out false teachers. They were correcting false teachings. They were patient and they endured. They were doing all the things that God had wanted them to do and were called to do in a difficult time. You might think in listening to these things that this was an incredible resume. And if you were to put them side by side with other resumes of other churches, this is a church that could possibly be up for Church of the Year, to be put in the Church Hall of Fame. What an incredible list of achievements that this church has been doing. But as the dust settles and as the glory fades, we have one final phrase from God about this church. When the resume is put away, God has this to say to the Ephesian church. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. And if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. You see, their resume was intact, the Ephesian church, but their passions were not. Their head and their hands and their feet were in the right places, but their hearts weren't. They were serving God with their bodies and with their minds, but not with their hearts, not with their passions. They were living the Christian life, but not loving the Christian God. They were doing the right things, but not feeling the right way. And the words that the scriptures use this morning are quite powerful. The charge against the Ephesian church is that they lost their first love. They forgot about the joy and excitement of being a follower of God. They lost sight of the victory that was theirs in Christ Jesus. They were doing the right things, but not feeling the right things. This past week, I was at the School of Ministry down in Leesburg with other pastors around the conference and heard a wonderful speaker who teaches at Asbury Seminary in Orlando. His name is Paul Chilcote. And brought back to me a vivid reminder that the Christian life is all about balance. It is all about integrating two things that are completely opposite. John and Charles Wesley integrated the Christian life, realizing that they not only had to be passionate for the truth and evangelizing the gospel, but they also had to be compassionate to people. They had to love the marginalized and the oppressed, the downtrodden, those who have not yet seen or heard about God's love. Christian life is full of integrating moments, the cross and the resurrection, of the Word and the Spirit, of Word proclaimed and Word enacted. And in the book of Revelation today, we see that integrating challenge to us to balance our works with our faith, with our convictions and with our actions, with our resumes and with our diaries, and to do good works and to love God passionately. Perhaps this morning we are falling in one side or the other, but not both. We're forgetting our first love, the love that God has given to us. I've shared this story with you before, a story about Olga and Sven. Olga and Sven were a couple living in Minnesota and were married for many, 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 many years. And one morning, Olga was sitting at the breakfast table eating breakfast, and Sven was reading the newspaper. And Olga puts her coffee cup down and says to Sven in a quiet voice, "Sven, we have been married for 57 years. And I can't remember the last time you told me that you loved me." And Sven, in that wonderful, stoic Minnesotan way, puts down his paper and says, "Well, Olga, I told you I loved you when I married you, and when I change my mind, I'll let you know." How sad it is when we forget our first loves. How sad it is when the feelings of first love in our human relationships dwindle and die and fade into a smoldering ash. And how much more sad it is when that first love that we once had for God starts to fade and die. Church, this is a God who saved us, sacrificed for us, loves us, breathed into us the breath of life, created us, created the world around us, and made us new creatures in Christ's love. Can you remember deep down in your past the feelings that you once had of a passion for God and to do God's work in a world that desperately needs it? Can you reach deep down inside and remember those passions that are now a smoldering ash in your life? It is not enough to do good works, and it is not enough to feel passionate for God. You have to do both. Have you forgotten those feelings, or have you never experienced it? Today is Homecoming Sunday, and we celebrate the great tradition that has been given to us, a gathering of the saints around the world in celebration of God's love. Let today be for you a call to reignite those passions that you are to have for God, so that the Christ-like life that you live can be based on a Christ-directed love. Ask yourself this morning, what would it be like if God asked you to give a biographical sketch of your life? Would it be a resume or a diary? Would you list all of your achievements, all of your glories, all of your crowns, all that you have done? Or would you proclaim your love for God, to praise, to bow down and worship, to live the passionate life? My prayer for all of us is that we would do both, to love God and to serve God. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.